Is almal lekker ingesetel. My naam is Cheryl Phillips. Ek verteenwoordig Drakensberg munisipaliteit vandag. Maar ek is ook hier as 'n vriendin van CPUT. En natuurlik is ek 'n boerling van Wellington ook. Ek is oud Leon. Ek sien meneer professor Lekkerdeur. Smile nou seker, want hy het nou seker nie geweet van waar is die ene. Die gesigie lyk bekend, maar ek kan haar nie eindelijk plaas nie. So ek is definitief gebore in Voorstraat Wellington. En dit is vir my 'n absolute voorreg om vandag weer hierso te kan wees, om saam met julle die sitstories te kan deel. En ek is so, ek weet ons is nou 'n bietjie, kyk ons is mos nou die graveyard shift, en ek is so bly, hulle het gesê, Cheryl Phillips is multilingual, so julle gaan dit nie teen my hou, soos Prof Lekkerdeur sal, ek kan met absoluut confidence sê, daar is mos 27 variante van Afrikaans, of is daar meer prof? So ek is, ek is so gelukkig dat ons hier so kan wees. Ons gaan vandag lekker gesels met twee formidabale, Malien het gesê, Joshiril, dat is een groot Afrikaanse woord, maar ek het het geleer, ek moes het gaan leer, maar ek het gedink, omdat het sit stories is, wil ek baie graag begin met die story, en dit, in termen van hoe ek die sprekers vandag gaan voorstel, wil ek begin met die story. So, my oorlede ma het geglo aan elke Sondag, Rapport en Sunday Times. Daai het ons in Parel Oos, Prof, we bought the Sunday Times and die Rapport. My father, my late father, hailed from Port Elizabeth. So he obviously believed that, you know, he needed to read the English Sunday Times. Maar my ma was oor 'n rapport. And so I got introduced by Laurie Gum via die rapport, headline news. En natuurlik voorblad nuus, Laurie, is mos nou nie, baie keer is dit die goeie nuus nie. Maar vir my, wat so insiggewend en significant is, in terme van jy as persoon, die feit dat jy, you did not let go, you stood the cause, and your father, jou pa, jou vader, he walked the path with you every step of the way. So I'm first going to introduce Laurie. In waar kan ek begin? Ek kan begin by die feit dat hy is natuurlik 'n Wellingtoner, hier groot geword, Universiteit van Stellenbosch en ook oorseese universiteite, maar dan Universiteit van Kaapstad ook. Nou, Malien het gesê, Cheryl, is hy net jou alma mater nie. Ek was ook by Universiteit van Kaapstad. Maar nou voel ek amper as if ek, my alma mater is actually CPUT, because I've just totally embraced the fact that I'm a friend of CPUT, and we're doing such amazing work in terms of collaboration. So ek voel ek is deel van CPUT, Prof Dippenaar. It's not a hint for work. Drakensberg Munisipaliteit is kyk goed na my en julle as belastingbetalers. Mallory has had, you know, great experience in terms of liberation theology. And also the work that he's done with the District 6 Museum. And now the current work that he's doing with Gender Works. En ek dink dit is baie belangrik in terme van gay activisme, die LGBTQ werk. Wat ons, daar's nog so baie wat ons moet doen in terme van die van gay activism in ook to mainstream that. Laurie, I mean, we are protected by our constitution, but every single day we get exposed to you know, people who still discriminate in terms of race, creed, sexual orientation. En vandag, hierdie sit stories, is vandag vir ons a kans om te praat van die verlede, van die discriminatie, maar it's also part of our healing process. Is hoe jy moet deur hierdie hartseer gaan om 'n goeie toekoms ook te kan hê en om te kan praat en werk aan 'n goeie toekoms. En ek het vir Laurie gesê om te dink, we live in a global village, en om te dink duisende kilometers there's a war waging. And sorry that I have to talk about it, but you cannot not talk about it because it impacts on us every single day of our lives. If the petrol increases, dit gaan absoluut, dit impak ons al klaar al. Because we do live in a global village. En wat ek ook vir julle wil sê is, die feit dat ons vandag hierdie twee trailblazers, these are change agents. And die studente, as julle net kan luister na hulle stories, hulle stories van waar hulle vandaan kom, hulle sit vandag hierso op een verhoog. Maar my vraag is, was julle gebore in Wellington en gelewe in Wellington destyds saam, kon julle as equals, as gelyke trailblazers, jammer nou, ek kan nou nie die Afrikaanse woord kry nie, kon julle so gesit het op een verhoog? En die antwoord is nee. And that is why we have these conversations today. So, Laurie, ek dink ek het nou vir jou een goeie intro gegee. Is jy tevrede met dit? Okay. Short and sweet. Maar nou wacht. Nou kom, Marleen is, okay. Oh, jy wil jou, okay. So Marleen's CV, her curriculum vitae is like, is amper 2 bladsye lang. Toe vraag ek vir Marleen, kyk, ons kom ons ook nou, ek het voor jou groot geword, en ons familie, ons is, ja, basically, ja, en ek sien vir Christel ook daar. Nee, Christel, jy kan maar, ja, ek sien vir jou ook, ek het voor julle groot geword. Toe vraag ek vir Marleen, moet ek nou alles dit sê? Toe sê Marleen, nee Cheryl, sê net wie ek is. Ek is Marleen Leroux. Kyk hoe sit sy. Ja. Basically, she needs no introduction because she has this august personality. She is Marleen Leroux, the trailblazer. Sy het awards gewen, seker 100 awards in terms of her achievements. Honorary doctorate. En dan natuurlijk die wat ek moet nou dit sê, want dit is, okay, laat ek gou kyk of ek my Frans kan toets. Laat ek gou kyk of ek my, in 2013, she received the Knight of the French National Order of Merit. Ek kan nie die Chevalier dans l'Ordre de Mérite. And then further down, she also received the French Knighthood in the Performing Arts in 2002. Guys, mense, if you don't know Marleen Leroux, then you haven't lived. Dan het jylle nie gelewe. Dan het, No, but that is die realiteit. You know, Marlene is a force to be reckoned with. En vandag in ons hulle stories, hulle lived experiences, hulle ervarings gaan ons na luister en dan daarna sal ons ook vra. Baie dankie.
Cheryl, thanks so much. That was beautiful and expansive. Thank you very much. We feel warmly welcome here in Wellington, I think. Dit voel bekend. Ons gaan so tussen ons gesels en dan gaan Cheryl weer inkom met vrae na die einde toe van die gehoor af ook. Maar ek wil begin, Marlene, deur te sê dat jy 'n paar jaar gelede gesê het, hoekom kom ons nie terug Wellington toe? En hoekom gesels ons 'n bietjie oor waar ons vandaan kom en hoe ons mekaar gemis het op bepaalde punte nie. En ek dink dis waaroor ons 'n bietjie gaan praat. Deur iets te sê van waar ons kom, wie ons is, ons stories te vertel vir julle. Maar dan wil ek begin met die vraag, jy weet, hoe ons oor die verlede praat. Dis miskien die voorvraag. En kan en wil ons nog oor die verlede praat? Daai wat baie mense van my complexion sê, kan ons nie nou maar aanbeweeg nie. Wanneer kan ons nou aanbeweeg? Is dit nie nou al ou nuus 30 jaar na apartheid plus nie? Of maybe a new generation tells us, but the old stories, the struggle, the history, the apartheid and so on, it's not applicable for us anymore. So why do we return to where we come from and who we are, our stories of the past as well?
On? Yes, thank you. I mean, the industry is not on. Ek sê altyd taal is 'n kommunikasie. En toe ek inkom, het ek onmiddellik my vriendinne wat daar agter sit van CPUT, toe vra ek vir hulle, moet ons Engels of Afrikaans praat? Because it's about a story that we want to tell. And it's very important when we tell our stories that it's from the beginning inclusive. And I want to honor them. Is it okay, sisters? So we will be bilingual, Afrikaans and English. Happy? So that we all are inclusive with our stories. First of all, I would like to acknowledge the executive of CPUT and the dean. Thank you very much for hosting us, Cheryl, Laurie. Obviously, always my professor was actually meneer en juffrou wat hier sit. And it's important aspects because we're going to talk about respect and journeys. Meneer het 'n fantastiese story vertel ook van aan skool vandag. En ek het ook baie geleer in terme van dit. Dankie meneer en dankie juffrou wat ek vandag hier sit. En dan wil ek natuurlik my klasmaats van 85 wat daar sit van Bergrivier, wat ook hier is. En dan my goeie beste vriendin is hier Corine Smol. Dan het ons ook vir Dr. Neil hierso. Norrie se ma is ook hier. En dan het ek natuurlik vir Christel wat sommer die hele familie verteenwoordig en sommer van die kloof. Nou hoekom sê ek nou al die dinge want is deel van ons stories? Ons kan nie 'n story vertel. We can't tell a story without context. And if you don't have context, your story is actually a lie. And you try to create your history which you don't have. And one of the things toe ek met Laurie praat, and I want to start first of all, am I correct, Laurie? I want to start, Cheryl, how we've met. Cheryl actually lived. We from Verlate Kloof, meneer het ook vandag gepraat van Verlate Kloof. Ons is om die rye gebly. En Cheryl hulle het daar in dat Hospitaalstraat het hulle gebly. Né? Nee? En hulle was daai stikkende huis, was ook aan hulle. So ons het al daai goeders mos ons was mos saam met dit. Is dit so? Nou, klas 85, ons kom nie van van rijkdom af. We come from poor aspects of our lives and we can't forget where we come from. And this was the idea I planted with Laurie. Because we try to live in South Africa where we don't tell our stories about each other. And then it becomes forced. And secondly, it becomes not real. Because you don't know where I come from. And you're stereotyping me. And you have no clue. And Laurie and I met. Ons het mekaar ontmoet. Baie laat in ons jare as aktiviste. As aktiviste. Toe ek al klaar met daai universiteit van Amandla Poppietjies. University of the Western Cape was mos die Amandla Poppietjies. Kyk, ek kan 'n klip vang. I can grab that stone. Cheryl, them at UCT, they spoke high English. So we were the ones that was running for that Caspus. And I said to Laurie, and just by the way, Mrs. Gaum, we then realized at the same time we were in Wellington. Ek by Bergrivier School en Laurie by Genote. Ek by VGK Kerk en Laurie by die Moederkerk. Hier is twee activiste, two activists from the same town who was removed brutally by a criminal act, because apartheid is a criminal act. Let me just be very clear about it. By a criminal act that we can never interact. And we never interact until we met each other with our activism. And this is how our path, actually, I said to Laurie, for our young people, and this is the first initiative of this kind for the CPUT leadership, that this is actually happening. And I think you need to take credit for it, that we can talk about it. Where the church also played a very big role. Am I right, Mr. Prof? A groot rol om ook mense uit mekaar uit te bring. Ek wil laas net oor ietsie van dit praat in terme van dit. Is that I honor also Juffrou April vandag. Sy is oorlede. Maar sy die koor begin wat die kinderkoor was, wat betrokke was by die kerk. En ek het gaan sing by die moederkerk. I was a soloist. And Mr. Bailey, who was also a champion and a leader in this community, he then said to die moederkerk, maar ek moet daar kom sing. And I was taken into this church, the back part. I needed to go via into that door, a certain door, need to sing. Remember now, we have the same Calvinistic upbringing. But we can't be in the same church. So there I was, do my singing, out you go. And I think, why are we talking about this? So that we need to start to talk about it. In order for us, how do we see our path of South Africans going ahead? So that we don't become invisible and not recognize each other's pain. Over to you, Rob, Laurie.
Yeah, no, beautifully said, Marlene. Thanks for all of that. And I'm thinking about, I was in Igorist down the road in the primary school. And the Oefen School, I think it's still maybe an Oefen School for the education teachers to come and practice some teaching. And then I went to Huguenot High for a couple of years before I matriculated actually in Jan van Riebeek, the other school with a name in town. But you know, I can remember those years, or what I can remember of it is that there was talk, it must have been 86 around there, at least of, they call it a verhoudingskomitee, a relationship committee that was erected to try bring people together, to try beginning having the conversations to get to know each other before this new South Africa can actually happen, because we've been impoverished by then, also from the white side, which was very privileged, of course, maar wat weerhou is van die geleentheid om ons medemens te ontmoet as 'n gelyke en te leer ken en te leer verstaan, sodat ons versoen kan lewe aan die einde van die dag. En dit vat natuurlik jare om deur die waarheid vrygemaak te word, die waarheid van ons stories en van ons verledes. So vir my is dit wat kom vanuit die bevoorregte kant. Jy weet, het ek altyd, en ek sukkel nog steeds daarmee by tye, met die stiltes, the silences, the uncomfortability about the lack of a story, because we tell ourselves we are so uncomfortable with our stories because we come from the wrong side of apartheid. Then sometimes we deny that we've ever been in cahoots with apartheid. Well, we are children of apartheid. It's just the truth. And to deny it is just is a lie. Maar dan nou om woorde daaraan te gee en woorde aan die ongemak te gee. Ek in my werk nou doen ons gesprekke rondom gender en seksualiteit. En ek weet, dis dieselfde ding wat gebeur as mans na die storie kom oor hoe hulle met vroue steeds omgaan en die ongelykheid wat daar is. Ons voel ongemaklik. Vroue kom na die werkswinkels wat ons aanbied, want hulle weet, hulle voel dit aan hulle eie lywe. Maar die ongemak om jou story te vind en iets oor jou story te sê, as jy van die bevoordeelde kant kom, is natuurlik moeiliker. Maar dan om werklik daarmee te werk en te sorg dat jy ook jou story na die tafel te bring, want is onregverdig dat net die een kant story moet vertel. In a recent publication of just languished it as follows: I've grown up in the average protected white Afrikaans bubble in Wellington, where the rumblings of a frustrated South Africa were only sounding far off on the fringes of our awareness. And that's of course a confession, a belydenis. Jy weet, ons het daar op die bult gebly, die skuldbult, het hulle dit nog in daai tyd genoem. Maar ons was bewus van die onluste. En my arme pa, wat 'n skrywer is en 'n dominee, en never learned to properly work with his hands and so on. His hands was soft, I think, of writing and so on. He had to learn to go on patrol with a gun, which, you know, you shouldn't have trusted him with a gun. But that was the other side of the this rumblings that we were aware of, but felt threatened about and feared, of course. So, en dan hoe mens meer leer sê oor daai stilte en daai gebrek aan 'n storie en dit opbring na die tafel toe. Maar van die ander kant af vir jou, Marlene, die kant van die verontregte, agtergestelde en jou spesifieke ervaring daar binne, hoe gaan jy met die verlede om, met die storie? Jy het alreeds iets daaroor gesê.
Ek wil net sê, ek weet nie of julle kan onthou nie, maats, Andrew Murray se kop was al af. We beheaded Andrew Murray's head. Meneer, kan meneer nog onthou? And there was a time it was sprayed purple. Yeah, what? Purple. And it was to make a statement. To say enough is enough. Prof spoken at the last, just before us, engagement of 85. And people forget about 85 because so many young people didn't pass because there was no school really that has happened. Because it was Casper days, it was the schools were invaded, and there was just no, it is just a miracle that we had absolutely brilliant teachers that stood by us. I just want to make it very clear. We had the most brilliant teachers that you can have and committed teachers. How do we deal with matters like this? I just want to say we dealt with you learn how to do things for yourself. And we still do that. We were on Crystal Kajondo, our granny. We were also part of a bigger family where there's sometimes 14 people in the house. Everybody's in that scheme house. And important was that we need, our granny was also a domestic worker and a seasonal worker, picking grapes or what is happening on the farms, Mafusela Plus, all of dimensions. In Danit Ik, I was also on that lorry. I was picked up and you need to pack stelasies. Jy moet gaan stelasie pak. En ek eet nou nog die meebos. I don't eat meebos. Because, you know meebos that you eat, that dried fruit. Because I know that time at hulle nie swaalokke gehad, man. It was not very hygienic. It's like, you will go in there and I could see people with their dirty feet. There they go in and then we need to pack that stelasie. And Marcel sê, Malinki, hou op praat. Ek moet my 20 cent maak vir stelasie. Then it's the heat like this. And today I'm actually so happy for this heat. Because it takes me back to my childhood where there was no mercy. Because you need to work that land. And the heat remind me of people go on when there's no aircon. We don't know aircon. It's like you must just lie still and sit outside till what time of the day and just breathe. And you learn actually from a very young age how to be codependent on your neighbors. How this one will get an artipel for the pot, a potato from the neighbor behind. Isi, it brinjals, ek het nooit geweet brinjals is aubergine. Now I must go get my prize at in France for this award. They tell me in English it's an aubergine. Now, ek hou nie van die aubergine. Because Ma used to use the aubergines to stretch the food for us for 15 people, man. And she didn't know how to do it. It was a slimy affair. So here I also said, here's. And then this thing come and it was blowballers. I was upset because we used to call it blowballers. You know, because it's big and it's blue. That was, and we could laugh. There was the minstrels, for instance. There was music. There was this beautiful, I think all of us are still so much involved with the, met die asters, meneer, kweek ook, maar as eindelijk juffrou se asters, ek wil eindelijk vir juffrou sê, dankie vir die asters. Gee vir juffrou haar hande klap. Maar, it is about how we start to make our own living of joy. And that I made a vow. No one ever will take my joy away. No one. Not a new South Africa. Because I respect you who you are now. Because you see me. Whether we had this, you acknowledge that. But never ever tell me, Marlene, don't talk about it. This is important that we need to share because our children needs to learn what is resilience. My last thing that I want to throw to the audience actually, which I'm extremely sad about. We concentrate so much on the Model C schools. We put our children, if you have a little bit of money, I was one of those, I'm a founder member of SATU. I was one of those in those days where I said close all the schools. Close it. So that teachers that has the best qualifications go and teach at the most impoverished schools and communities. And those schools must be equipped with music teachers, with music teachers that can read music. Secondly, also, there should be coaches, because we had club rugby. I grew up in a house. Buddha Jack Abrams is my Buddha. He is the main person in the rugby. And why taking the talent from Bergrivier and take them into another school? Bergrivier or whatever school in this particular disadvantage, which is still economically disadvantaged, should have the best coaches, should have the best field. I'm not disadvantaged anymore. I've got a bloody good job. My job is to open up opportunities. I can't stand on this stage and say, I'm still Malinki van die Kloof. It is wrong. But I can't see this is happening. And this is the path that we now need to walk together and to say, how do we change the narrative? And that narrative that the Carterville child, named after Dr. Carterville, that Carterville should not look like this, Cheryl. And it should have the best schooling that we can have.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's actually something that I always see in you, and that really resonates, not only resonates, but I think is a important thing for South Africa at the moment, to really step into the power of who one is. Never mind what you have confronted with and the challenges that you face also coming from a disabled side. You can still make something of your life. And it's the same mechanism that I encountered in having to step into my gay identity, because there we call it gay pride, or nowadays queer pride. But I think, you know, it's because I was outed so dramatically, as you mentioned. But I had to step up to it, and I had to step into it and embrace it and see it as my strength to operate from there and say, but listen, you can throw all these stuff at me, discriminatory stuff at me, but I'm still who I am, and I believe who I am, and I can even say I'm created gay in God's image, whatever that means for me. I can claim that. And I think it's the same thing of black consciousness that's necessary, you know, for people of color that has at some stage said, but black is beautiful. If you discriminate against us, like in this town earlier on, I'm sure it's still happening, that ons nie mekaar as gelyke sien nie, dat ons tragies genoeg teen mekaar diskrimineer op grond van kleur, op grond van gender, op grond van seksualiteit, ensovoorts. Maar dat ons, jy weet, nog steeds ons eie krag kan vind en kan opneem en dit kan assert, en vanuit daar die energie kan lewe eerder as die teendeel. Ja.
Ja, ek het nou gesê, ons wag nou, ek moet mos nou die vraag vra, maar ek is 'n bietjie voorbarig like that. I'm quite forward in that sense as well. So when you put it out to the audience about why is this, you know, why do we still have the disjointedness, the besides the fact that we are the most unequal country economically in the world, what I want to pose is, you guys have had these experiences in the past. Maar as ek nou so kyk na hierdie verhoor, dan vra then, Prof, I ask both professors, I ask myself, to what extent has that changed, that separation in terms of students not integrating? I often wonder when I walk, even in Paul and coming to universities, and my child is at Boys High, etc. So want hulle leer dit by die huis mos, man. You know, it's at the dinner tables waar hierdie goed gepraat word.
Cheryl, I think that's a very important question. Number one, it is, you're not born with culture. You're not born with language, and you're not born with religion. You are enculturated. And how do you move forward? So we have a choice in our household. Dis hoekom ons meneer praat van moedertaal. It's also, what of positive culture would you would like to have your children at home? And how, I'm also involved with Chrysalis, where Laurie is also involved. And Chrysalis is a youth academy where we give young people a second chance in life. And one of the programs that we do is that we let young people talk about initiation. We talk about identity. We talk about different cultures. And we talk about how do we see we marry ourselves together in moving towards a South African identity. My biggest fear that I have is that there is not discussions like this that is happening. Politicians are driving these discussions, and it should not be. It should be institutions that should drive it. We come from the schools where we had school clubs, teachers played a valuable role. And then also the churches played a valuable role where we belong. Ek het behoort aan die Jong Dogters Bond, for instance, where young women will be in. There I learn how to speak my voice. I found my voice there. But these clubs doesn't exist anymore because it's driven by a political parties. And then there's not that natural way of coming together, because you can't say how my children looks like and what language do they speak just because I happen to have this color of the skin. Our communities have changed. The second aspect I want, and then I will give over to Laurie. The second aspect is also is that we that has the ability, that has reached somewhere where we are, we must ask ourselves, do you give back? Or are you so comfortable with your big car, your big house, and just everything, you will never feel safe and you will never feel comfortable if there's not a sense that we have a basic income for people in order for them to have a living. And that is at least because hunger is real in our communities.
Absolutely, well said. I think, the guy across the ocean through DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, out of everything, but the embrace of diversity and really the accessing the strength of diversity. That is something to be taught. That is something to go and seek out, really, to enrich yourself, because I've really, after having grown up in a protected environment like Wellington was in that time. I was the last year when I was in matric, schools were still closed, only the next year. So I went to school in an all-white environment all the time. And then I was at Stellenbosch early 90s with the transition. But, you know, it was still not diverse at all. Then I had to go serve in a congregation in Guguletu for 4 years. And it was amazing exposure. I discovered South Africa, the broader South Africa, and it enriched me until this day. So I think to go out there and to seek these opportunities to enable us to build diverse societies, that is our strength, and it can enrich us. It needs to come from the school level.
I also want to say, now that we're working together, Laurie and I, we also look at our town, Wellington. And this is not about a gloom and doom. When I had the discussion with Laurie, it's actually to say, we live in a beautiful country. I never want to live anywhere else. It's boring. I just want to say it's boring. Go over, you will come back again. It is, we have energy. We talk. We have, I say, for me, the best thing that could happen to me was I had polio. I know how to deal with disabilities. I grew up poor. I know I can lose this house with immediate effect. I won't kill myself. I will go and be a packer in Pick n Pay, but I will end up as a manager because I know how to do it without any backing. I'm not a trust baby. Then also the third thing is that we were exposed to so many people from the beginning. So there is no fear. The University of the Western Cape has really in those days prepare us on so many levels. I want to pose to the universities and to the churches that is here, and Wellington, thank you for this conversation, is that with these conversations that we have, and it's linked now to an institution, it's linked to the Breitenbach Center, because we have all these talk shops all over, but it is not linked to an actual institution that can take it further. That it doesn't stop here. That we have a young person that comes with a different language and another person from a different cultural language, which is young, and they need to talk to each other. They need to become friends. It must not only be the workplace. Because we have BEE and we have affirmative action, that only in the workplace we are transformed. It should be also our friendship, and we need to make an effort to do that. I always pose this. You are seen with your friends. You are what you slip up is when your child comes with a lover from a different language, a different skin color, then the racism comes out. I've seen it. I've experienced it. We all say we're not racist. We all say, no, we're not homophobic, but the day it happens in your home, oh my word, then everything comes out. Everything. So confront yourself. Stand in the mirror and say to yourself, and that is, I learn from Laurie. I go to Laurie and ask Laurie, Laurie, teach me more about LGBTQ+I. I want to make you laugh also, because I like laughing, man. That's important, that we need to laugh. My late friend, Solly Philander, was a very good friend of mine who just passed on. So Solly had 5 children. He still had the 5 children, and he was married that time to Tony. So Solly decided he's going to make an appointment with me. So here I am, I believe I'm a human rights activist, and a human rights activist is not in blocks. You're a human rights activist right through. You must take your stance. Even if you're not gay, you go and march for the human rights. It's important. So Solly come to see me. He says to me, Marlon, I want to speak to you. I think, what is it now? Solly wants a new play. I'm at Artscape. Solly says to me, I want to talk to you about non-binary. I said, Solly, is this now a new play? Solly flipped it. Solly says to me, you're supposed to know about the LGBTQ plus I community. Do you see what I want to say to you? You don't know it all. I don't know it all. We need each other in order to move forward. And that is my message that I want to state to you, Laurie.
Ja, en van die wit kant gesien, dink ek, om met hierdie skaamte, miskien is skaamte eintlik die emosie, nie net skuld nie, skuld oor die verlede of 'n ongemak, hoe maar met 'n deal, how to express it, but the shame around it that silences us. You know, we need to engage with that shame and to get in our story in some or other way to grapple with it in order to give language to it, to be able to share it like this and to step into responsibility, verantwoordelikheid. Ek dink ook dis 'n groot verantwoordelikheid van educators to teach responsibility. My responsibility as a white South African, I had to bend underneath some guilt of the past that came with apartheid and the privilege that, I mean, my education was worth 15 times, 20 times as much as yours in Bergrivier, what was paid for my education exactly, and maybe you would have clearer numbers of those. Maar dit gee vir my verantwoordelikheid, dit gee vir my iets om te doen. Ek kan nie net wegstap van hierdie land en sê, ek gaan nou net lekker oorsee sit en vergeet nie. Ek kan oorsee sit, maar dan moet ek nog steeds geld terugstuur, of dan moet ek een of ander vorm van verantwoordelikheid vir my opvoeding ook terugploeg in hierdie land. En saamstaan. Dit is so prachtig wat jy sê, Marleen, want ek dink ek het mense soos jy ontmoet en ook ander LGBT-activiste bijvoorbeeld, wat in die township deal with black women still suffering often of hate crimes and corrective rape, as it's tragically termed. It's also not only a township thing. It happens amongst other places in townships. But I think, you know, and that made me meet fellow activists, not on the grounds of our color anymore, but something else connected us, as you expressed so beautifully. So it gives you new connections to new people in our country, which we so desperately need at this time. Do you want to throw it?
Ons het nog so 25 minute oor. Maar, Laurie, wat vir my nogals, ek het nou net gedink daaraan, en ek kyk nou na jou ma, en ek sien sy is daar. So, Marleen, ek sê altyd, my oorlede ma het altyd gesê, jy kan geletterd wees, maar as jy nie opgevoed is nie, en ek dink die opvoeding van waar ons is, you know, you can, it comes through your parents, and for us to reconcile, it is a bigger discussion to still have, because I promise you, if you go home, hier is die studente wat hier so nou sit, as hulle huis toe gaan, as hulle na hulle residence toe gaan, remember they are, you guys are our future leaders. Our future is in your hands. I mean, I'm literally retiring in 8 years time, so julle gaan my leiers wees. Julle gaan die posisie wat ek het nou by Drakenstein Municipaliteit, you guys are going to sit in that very chair. So how are we, and once again, back to the institution and back to the academics, are we developing holistic leadership, both in emotionally, physically, and the wholesome and intellectually? Because they have, really, Prof, their shoulders must be big. Because we have challenges, and we really, really cannot ignore the fact that miskien moet dit maar weer by die huis begin. In starting those conversations. And next time, maybe broaden it not only to the student community, but actually to the parents as well. Because honestly, jy kry het van die huis, jou opvoeding starts at home.
Okay. In Wellington, there's this big minstrels festival. The talent is amazing. And why am I saying this? Is that everybody in this town should be so proud of the musicality and the singers every year on this Boland Stadium. One of them, I took one of the minstrels group with me, young people, to Toulouse. And they won. They won their section. And they thought they are recording artists. But the reason why I'm saying it is that the more we start to celebrate what we have, and not just see, ach, dit is 'n agterlike. Die minstrels is net vir kalits, hulle smeer, hulle sê, no, the more we start to embrace each other, the more we're going to move forward. You're either part of it, then we have Mbekweni. Mbekweni is in the middle. And we ran at Artscape, we're very much on where we use the arts as a vehicle to tell our nation's stories. And our aim is, it's a place for all. And so it's stories for all. And this should be where we need to start to venture in every single town, that it is not just about commercial things. I think the commercial stuff sometimes push people away. It should be how we, with effort, say, what is, are we proud of as a town? What has been marginalized, and how do we pull it together?
I'm going to ask you, and then we're going to go over to question and answer. Van ek het nou net die cue gekry, Cheryl, hurry up.
Yeah, just one thing, you since you mentioned my mom, Cheryl, she tells the story, and of course we talked a lot on the way, yeah, and so on, and you can ask her more about it. The interesting story that she was teaching in those days when you were at Bergrivier, she was teaching at the Nywerheid School, Industrial School. It's still, yeah, and I think she was deputy principal there at some stage. And so she was experiencing it from that side along with other teachers and seeing the benches being thrown down Bergrivier and being going up in flames, and speaking to her fellow fellow teachers about that experience. So that already breaks also the mold a bit and tells us there's so much complexity in our stories. There's not only one thing, especially in South Africa today, it's so exciting. You meet someone and you are so surprised by their stories. It's sometimes so heartwarming that we need to draw those stories out from each other.
Okay, dankie. Is julle, dink julle, julle het nou genoeg gepraat? Ons kan maar nou ons kan maar nou vir die gehoor. So we're going to ask Andre, we have a roving mic. We are going to ask some of the audience members if you are interested. Ons het ons eerste vraag. Crystal and number 3. Oei, nee, ek sal my brille nou moet opsit. Ek wil nou nie my brille opgesit het.
Hello. Hi. I'm not from Wellington, but I often visit the Breitenbach Center and I've performed there quite a few times as well. I'm an Afrikaans poet. The question that I have is something that Marlene mentioned, is the fact that we need each other. How can we make other people in our community realize the bigger picture? Because sometimes if you host an event or if you try something new, most people just want to be seen and become popular instead of actually doing the work or working together with you, where you perhaps have an annual festival of whatever kind. Because if you just do something once off, it's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to help the youth or the community. So how can you show other people in your community or other people that you would like to work with the bigger picture without having to fight with them about it?
We can two more questions, Crystal, and then the meneer, and then yeah, die dame daar achter. So we've got four, yeah, three on the side as well.
Goeiemiddag allemaal. Ek gaan probeer om stadig te praat. As 'n reël praat ek baie vinnig, kan jy my hoor? Ek het nie 'n vraag om te vra nie, ek wil net aansluit by Lori. Hy moet my net help met die datum. 1986 was dit die jaar toe Dr. Andre Gam die redakteur van die kerkbode geword het. Wat sê? Ja, dankie dat jy help met my datums. In 1985, om aan te sluit by die verhoudingsaksie waaroor Lori gepraat het, was die junior verhoudingsaksie. En die eerste vergadering met die verskillende skole het in hierdie einste saal plaasgevind, waar meneer Herman Bailey die spreker was. En ek was onder andere deel van die groepie van Bergevier se skool. Maar Lori was nie so aktief nie, maar die politikus, advokaat André Gaum. En ons het vandag een of sommer lekker vastgesit. Ek en my skoolmaatjie, waar jylle my eisom, een of ander rede, was ons maar altyd samen rondom hierdie goed. En dier juffrou Dankers, en die Douna, wat in die bestuurskomitee was, saam met meneer Herman Bailey, het sy vir, ons noem nog steeds, counselor kommerit Steven de Vries, wat daar beheersien was, gevra om by die verhoudingsaksie te kom aansluit. En Steven was nie baie happy nie, op daardie stadium het hy nie gepraat met mense, ander kant Penstraat, ander kant die hoof wegneem. Dus sê, vorm, kom ons gaan, jong, toe maar dankel ons is bang vir hulle, toe maar hulle wit is. En ons het toe gegaan, en later het, dit was nie baie goed ontvang van die mense, van ander kant Hoofstraat, en van ons kant. Jy weet, ons kom uit die achtergrond, jy praat nie met die wit mense, en daar was nie onderhandeling, daar was die Kodessa nie. En toe het André gekom en een van die dinge wat ek en Irma van hom gevra het, jong, nou is na jou huis toe. Ons bykie gaan kyk waar we in julle. Nou vraag so, moet ons sag praat en stadig stap, want die boere slaap ons 3:00 PM. Nou sê hy vir ons, ons moest nou moet stap, nou sit Blauwvlei weg op, Krielstraat op, links op, Friesia staat, nou sê vir ons, in die hoek, by die toering, die wat mense sê, is die lelike groenhuis. Nou het ons die groenhuis gekry en ons het daar gesit die middag. En, maar dit is maar ietsie wat ek wil gedeel het. En een van my skoolmaats het onder andere een foto ontvang van die leerlinge van die Jugend Hoërskool met die AK-47s. En hy was ook in die junior verhoudingsgat. Hy was baie ontevrede en baie kwaad. En toe sê ek, meneer Warren, maar dis hoe hulle ons ken, dis hoe ons gelabel het. Hulle ken nie anders nie. Maar ons weet ons nou na vandag en hoeveel jare later, ons het anders. Die ander ding wat ek hier wil gedeel op, Step Up, was in 1988 ook hier die gospel concert gehad. Dit was die vereniging van Stellenbosch Christen studenten in EWK. En Malin het die aand vir my met twee sisters genooi. En die aand het ek vir Leen Rus, van Weile Winnie Rus, en die dochter van Dr. Mani Rus ontmoet. Daar staan was ek Stellenbosch en sy, maar ek wil net vir die idee gee hoe een mens ontmoet. En in my ekonomie klas, 1987 was daar juffrou Joubert. Sy was die dochter van een van vijf kinders van Dominee Joubert, wat in Kerkstraat gewoond in die groot pastorie. Die pastorie is intussen verkoop. Maar dis hoe mens mense ontmoet wat in jou dorp is en was. So ek wil maar net dat gelig het rond met junior verhoudingsaksie en bietjie inligting gedeel het.
Dankie. Ek weet ons is nou, we pressed for time and I really want us to answer the questions before we need to go to our next venue. So ek gaan gauw vir meneer, ek kan en dan die dame net achter prof, ja.
Ek ga nie op hierdie stadium my naam gee nie. Ek wil, hoe sê, action speaks louder than words. Ek neem aan, dis mevrou Gaum. Enda Gaum.
Dit is nou regte versoening. Okay, action speaks louder than words.
Lori het dit aangeraak. Hulle het die naam genoem Nywerheidsskool vir dogters. En ek is Pieter Hartog. Sean ken vir my. Dis 'n paar wat vir my ken. Die sprekers wat opgetree het, Michael, my beste vriend Michael, Marlene, Lori Gaum en Andre. En Henda Gaum en Fritz Gaum. Nou ek en Henda was collega's. Om die waarheid te sê, ek was eindelijk haar baas gewees. Sy was die skoolsielkundige toe ek by die nywerheidsskool aangesluit het. En na jare het sy natuurlijk die dorp verlaat en ek het contact verloor met haar. En dit is een van die dinge wat ek altyd voor gewens het, dat voordat ek eendag hierdie wêreld verlaat, wil ek daarom nog verneem na Henda Gaum. Dankie Kaput, dankie die organiseerders, dat hierdie is nou vir my 'n reunie met 'n dame wat ons was goeie maatjies en sy het leeuwe werk gedoen by die nywerheidsskool destyds. Dit is nou die Wellington Jeugsorgsentrum. Daar wil ek net 'n bietjie.
Kan ek ook iets sê?
Absoluut.
Meneer Wickham was ons hoof. Meneer Wickham was ons hoof. En hy was die grootste, dierbaarste baas om te hê. En hierdie meneer Hartog. Hy was baie hoog in die skool ook. En elke keer, as die kinders daar by die nywerheidsskool, nie nywerheidsskool, Bergevier Hoërskool, die meubels daar afgegooi het en het aan die brand gesteek het, het meneer Hartog, meneer Wickham my kom haal en as, het ons daar gestaan by die nywerheidsskool en gekyk hoe die kinders daar die goed afgooi, die banke, die skoolbanke en het aan die brand steek. En dan het meneer Wickham vir my gesê, Henda, ek weet nie wat om met my kinders te doen nie. Dan sê ek vir hom, los hulle, hulle wil dit so doen. En ek wil maar net sê, ons moet nie van dit so 'n vreeslike saak maak nie. Want ek het 'n ou geel bakkie gery. En as ons checks kry die einde van die maand, dan het ons al die juffrouens, is almal bruin gewees, is net ek wat wit was, het op die bakkie geklim, na die standaardbank gery onder in die dorp, en ons het ons checks gaan wissel. En dan het ek voor in die tou gestaan en vir hulle almal gehelp om te kom. En daarna was ons so dors geweest. Ons wou daar by daai kafeetjie iets drink. Dan sê hulle vir my, nee Henda, ons kan nie hier ingaan. Dan sê ek, julle staan net hier, ek sal gaan koop en ek sal myne ook hier by julle kom drink. En so het ons altyd buite gestaan en ons koeldrank gedrink.
Baie dankie Henda, baie dankie Lori. Ek sal natuurlik, as die tyd verder nie om down memory lane te gaan nie. Behalve vir Lori te sê, ek had in my foto album, ek het so, dat het voor selfone, het ek een foto waar jy en jou broer, jy en jou boetie André, op die vloer kruip, by die nijverheidsskool. Die vloer was ons vreselijk blink gevryf, en hulle het so geniet. In elk geval, ek gaan nou sit, maar ek wil net aansluit by professor Michael Lekedeer. Hy het in sy, hulle was seker nie hier nie, maar hy het genoem van die skoolkie op 'n plaas, wat bekend staan as 'n leefskool, ne Michael? 'N leefskool. En dit het my so in my kraal gepas, want die onderwysstelsel van destyds, ek dink ons pluk nou die wrange vrugte van die onderwysstelsel van weleer. En ek wil net een voorbeeldjie noem, ek was nou nie in die akademiese veld gewees nie. Ek was wat hulle genoem het 'n PT teacher, 'n LO onderwyser. En dan was ons nog prakties, ons word nog nie gereken in die akademiese nie. En die inspekteur van LO destyds was natuurlik wit en hulle het LO eintlik 'n karakter gegee van 'n formele, daar moet datums en ek het die vak, ek en my collega het die vak verander na 'n praktiese vak, waar as die leidtjes laat speel ek met pale en met boomstamme en met motorbande en sulke goed, en toe word ons as aangekla vir minagting van gesag. Ons het die curriculum heeltemal versteur en so destijds, en waar is die nou soek hulle die leefspoel. Hulle soek hier die boeke kennis nie, hulle soek die praktiese kennis. In elk geval, dankie Michael.
Meneer Hartog, as ek opstaan, net, ons gaan 1 minuut vir die laaste vraag, maar ons moet klaarmaak en dan gaan ons net antwoord. We have to finish because we must still walk to the Murray Gardens where we're going to launch the Amabali Wepali project, if Poles could talk. So please, 1 minute en dan iemand antwoord.
Hello, thank you. I just want to start by saying thank you, for coming today. I think I would speak for everybody by saying we really appreciate for you, for us, for telling us your stories.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't this a deep, too deep of a question, but how did you know you wanted to become an activist in respective fields, in a sense?
Baie dankie. Ek dink ons sal die vraag moet maar nou toemaak in terme van die audience. We're just going to ask you to respond in terms of the first question between Laurie and Marlene, who's going to take that one.
Just for my sister.
Yes.
Is that again now, you have spoken, you have a book, and I have invited my sister to our women's and Humanity Festival, so that the book gets another platform as well. And I think that is where we can take the conversation also to another level as well. So that's also my answer. We use this type of opportunities. And then for the lady with the other question is, life makes you an activist, because you can either look away. Activism is about you giving of yourself, volunteering to, it's a cause of impact, it's a cause not just about yourself, and it's a cause to help somebody else that doesn't have the privilege like you or myself to better themselves or to become visible in society.
Meneer Hartog, my ma het op pad hiernatoe gesê, sal sy nie toch ooit weer vir meneer Hartog sien nie.
Oh, dat is so sweet.
So, baie dankie vir die oomblik, dit is besonders. interconnectedness dat ons moet agterkom net in reaksie daar dat ons mekaar nodig het, dat ons nie sonder mekaar kan nie, dat ek as ek ryk is en bevoordeeld is en langs 'n arm gemeenskap bly, is dit nie volhoubaar as ek nie ook sorg dat daai gemeenskap na omgesien word nie, anders gaan daar probleme wees. Ons moet dit snap.
Baie, ja. Lori en Marleen, ek weet nou, ek haas nou, is daai die regte Afrikaans? Anyway, I'm rushing you guys. Maar in elk geval, dit was my een absolute voorreg om saam met julle vandag hier so op hierdie verhoog kan wees. Maar ons gaan nou na die, ek is baie excited oor hierdie Amabali Wepali project, If Poles Could Talk. And it talks about, this is a ceremonial unveiling. This ceremonial unveiling marks the Amabali Wepali Poles as material storytellers. And that's the different medium of storytelling. Honoring our memory, our narrative, and shared presence with the Murray Garden Space. But and before you guys leave, it's close to the Goodno, it's next to the Goodno wall. But Andre, we need to continue these conversations along with the CPUT. Ek soek vir mevrou Gam, wat daar's baie meer mevrou Gams in hierdie gemeenskap wat in 1986 die ander juffrouens se cheques gaan wissel. Those are the stories that we need to share, because that gives me hope, because mense, my ma het altyd gesê, het begin by die huis. It starts at home. So thank you very much, and that's a wrap from us.
Kan ons asseblief meneer en juffrou vra en die Bergrivier skoolleer in Corin, ons wil gou 'n foto vat en ook die dean. Dean?
The very last one.